Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei Zayin, and we are about 15 lines from the top of daf Pei Vav Omid Beis Itmar. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Miriam bas Rivka, Leah Gittel bas Devorah, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibadal Chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're in the middle of another sugya that deals with the laws of Truma and Meiser. Specifically, the Gemara brought two brises, one on the top of Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph, the other on the bottom of Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph, both of which mentioned a machloikis tanoim with regards to who one is obligated to give his Maiser Rishon to. So we know that Truma goes to a Kohen. Only a Kohen can eat Truma. If anyone other than a Kohen eats Truma, he's Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. What about Maiser? So if you look in the Torah says very, very clearly that Maiser is supposed to be given to the Levian. And in the first Brisa, Rav Meir said, Truma L'Kohen, Maiser Rishon LeLevi. In the second Braisa, it was Rabbi Akiva that said, Truma L'Kohen, Maiser Rishon LeLevi. As I state in Torah, give it to the Levi. However, in both Braises, there was the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that although the Torah says, you give Maiser Rishon to the Levi, it doesn't mean to preclude giving Maiser Rishon to the Kohen. Rather, if you want to give it to the Kohen, that's also okay. Meaning, Levi, but Af L'Kohen. Aye, it says in the Torah, Levi, said the Gemara, it's Kid Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Om Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Be'esrim V'arba Mekoimois Nikru Kohanim Levim. There are 24 times in the Torah where the Torah says Levim, and really it means Kohanim, or it means also Kohanim. The bottom line is, the word Levi could mean Kohen. At the end of the day, the Kohanim came from Shevet Levi. And it's for that reason, when it says in the Torah, the Maaser Rishon is meant to be given to the Levim, said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it doesn't mean Dafka to the Levim. However, it could be given to the Kohanim as well. Now, this Machloikis is all on the Deiraisa level, from a purely biblical perspective. Who is one obligated to give his Maaser Rishon to? However, there was a time in history where this changed. The time in history was circa the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra had gone from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He looked around and he realized that the Yidden were terribly short on Levium. He was very, very upset. The Levium were living in Bavel and they chose not to make Aliyah and not to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Ezra was so upset that he issued a knas. He penalized the Levium. And he said, from this point moving forward, one should no longer give his Maaser Rishon to the Levium. Now, how did Ezra have a right to take the Maaser Rishon away from the Levium? If the Torah says you give it to the Levium, certainly the Torah says you have a right to give it to the Levium. So how did Ezra have a right then to go and take it away from the Levium? The Torah says Pashat, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And because of the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, Ezra invoked that principle and he said, I don't want you to give Maaser Rishon to the Levium. Okay, so who then should you give it to? That's going to be the opening discussion of today's daf. So, the Gemara Itmar. Mipnei ma konsul Levium b'Maaser. Why was it that Ezra issued this penalty, this knas, against the Levium, where he took away their Maaser Rishon? Pligi bar Rabbi Yonasan v'Savya. So it was a machlokes Amiram. It was a machlokes Rabbi Yonasan and Savya. Chadama once said, Shaloi olu b'mei Ezra. The reason is, like we just mentioned, because the Levium did not go up to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra. Ezra was very disappointed. The Levium are a Yekar Metziah when there's a Beis HaMikdash. You need them. You need the Kayhanim to do the Avoida. You need the Levium. We're talking specifically about the Levium. Beshiram uvezimram. They were the Meshayrim. They were the Meshayarim. They had very important jobs in the Beis HaMikdash, and because of the fact that they did not go up to Eretz Yisrael, so it's for that reason Ezra gave them a knas. The knas was he took away the Maaser Rishon. The Chadam of the other said, "Kedei sheyismechu kohanim ola b'meitumasim." You want to know why he took it away from the Levium? Is because kohanim used to literally live on truma. The problem is you can only eat truma when you're tahar. When you're tameh, you can't eat truma. So what does the kohen do when he's tameh? It's a good question. Vos tut the kohen when he's tameh? So Ezra realized that the kohanim had a need. So the way he fulfilled the need was he went, he took away the maaser from the levium, and instead he gave it to the kohanim. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Bishlam ilaman damashloy alu. Bishlam according to Mandamad says that the reason Ezra made the knas was because of something the levium did. They were not oila in the times of Ezra. Mishum hachi kanzinu. It makes perfect perfect sense. They did something wrong. Ezra punished them. What was the punishment? He took away the Maaser Rishon. But according to the Mandama that says that the reason Ezra took the Maaser Rishon away was because the Kehanim needed to have what to eat when they were Tameh. Mishum Kehanim Kansinu Leviim. That doesn't sound fair. So the Kehanim have a need. So we're going to satisfy the need of the Kehanim on the plates of the Leviim. What did the Leviim do? So the Gemara clarifies, you're right, 100%. There's no one that argues. Everybody agrees that the reason Ezra issued his knas, the reason he took away the Maaser Rishon from the Leviim, was because of the fact that they were not oil in the times of Ezra. V'hacha, over here, v'hacha miflagi. So what was this machloikis? There's some machloikis here between Rav Yonasan and Savio. So the Gemara says the machloikis was as follows. Mar savar la'aniyim. Umar savar koyhanim bimei tumasam aniyim ninu. The machloikis was not why Ezra made the knas. The machloikis was not what the nature of the knas was. The machloikis was who's now the beneficiary of the knas. So you have to pay a fine. Who are you paying the fine to? Who's going to be depositing the check? And that was the machloikis. Chad amar, that it was meant to be given to the aniyim. The chad amar, it was meant to be given to the kohanim. Give to the aniyim makes sense. If there's going to be a knas, all of a sudden now there's going to be a surplus of maaser rishon. Maaser rishon is 10%. That's a material number. That can really, really add up. So who's this money going to go to? It makes perfect sense. You should give it to the aniyim. But there was another mandama that said, no, it was given to the kohanim b'mei tumasam. Doesn't it make more sense to give it to the aniyim? I hear. But kohanim b'mei tumasam, aniyim ninu. They're also aniyim. And it's for that reason, that's who it was given to, says the Gemara. We're going to read the parentheses. Bishlam b'lamandama knasa l'aniyim. Bishlam according to the mandama that says that it was a knas for the aniyim. So who was the beneficiary of the Maaser Rishon once Ezra made the knas? It was the aniyim. So mishum hachi ahadri Rabbi Akiva l'pischa l'bek hivri. We can understand now the Gemara, the story that was told at the very end of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara told the story that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they debated on a d'oraisa level who Maaser Rishon is supposed to be given to. Rabbi Akiva said, the Torah says Levim, you give it to the Levim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like we spoke at again in the introduction to the daf, said, it's true it says Levim, but afla kayanim. Aye, it says Levim. This is one of 24 places where although it says in the Torah Levim, it can mean kayanim. And then the Gemara told them, Maaser Shehoya Kachaya. There was a garden. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as a Kohen, used to take the Maaser Rishon, even though he was a great sekvir, but he used to take the Maaser Rishon. Rabbi Kiva was not happy about it. Lishi Tosai, because he holds it's only supposed to go to the Levim. So what he did was, is he blocked off the entrance. The only way to get into this garden now was to go through a Beis HaKfaris. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, so he wasn't allowed to go through the Beis HaKfaris, and as a result, he lost out. Now, the Gemara's Kasha is, I don't understand this story. You know why? This story happened when? In the times of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which, you don't have to be a historian to know, was hundreds of years after the times of Ezra. Which means at this point, we're not handling anymore Maaser Rishon on a D'oraisa level. We're handling Maaser Rishon really on a D'rabbanan level, on a Knas of Ezra level. So L'chura, if there's a discussion over here with regards to whether Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is allowed to take Maaser or not, it sounds like even after the knas of Ezra, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that the Kehanim are not allowed to take the Maaser. Because they can't be arguing anymore midairaisa. That's in the before world. We're living in the after world, after already Ezra made his knas. So the Gemara asks a bumbakasha, the bishloim, according to the mandama that says that it was a knas laniyim. So I understand the maisa. The reason Rabbi Akiva was not allowing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to take the maaser rishon is because even noch the knas, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a kohen is not entitled. Before the knas, it belongs to the Levim. And even after the knas, it belongs to the aniyim. Elo l'mandam of the kohanim, but according to mandam that says that it's supposed to go to the kohanim. And maya hadre the pischal bei kivri. Frank the Gemara. Even if Rabbi Akiva held that midairaisa was supposed to go to the Levim, but Ezra gave a knas, and the knas was according to one mandam, and now it's supposed to go to the kohanim. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is living after the knas. If he's living after the knas, why can't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah take the maaser? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamali." You have to tweak the story. You have to say that Rabbi Akiva never meant to tell Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have no gerech to take the maaser rishon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was allowed to take the maaser rishon because he was after the knas of Ezra, and at that point, maaser rishon, according to this man, Omar held that it belongs to the Kehanim anyways. So what was Rabbi Akiva telling him? He was just arguing with him in Lundis. They were having more of an academic shayla. He told him, either ka'asas b'tayrus k'nasa islach. He says, if you're taking it b'tayrus k'nasa, then you're right, of course. There's no question you're entitled to take it. But he was telling him, v'i ka'asas b'tayrus chalukah b'rabalaz ben azariah, if you're taking it because you hold that midairaisa, you're entitled to it. Not because of the k'nasa of Ezra, but b'tayrus chalukah, because that's the ikar din, which I know Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is your shita, leslach. I'm telling you that I don't agree with you. Either way, zokti gemar minolach to leis nolika b'mei Ezra. So we just said that Ezra issued a knas, and he said that the Yidin were no longer meant to give the Maiserishin to the Levim. Rather, who are they supposed to give it to? Machloikis, pliguba, chadama, v'chadama, either they give it to the Kehanim, or they give it to the Anim. But it's all predicated on the fact that for sure Ezra issued a knas, and the reason he issued the knas was because the Yidin, specifically the Levim, in the beginning of Ayasheni, did not go up to Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, most Jews did not go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rambam that we've been talking about for the last several days. And in the times of Ayasheni, Afilu b'mei Ezra, the Chiyuv Chumas of Maestros was only a Chiyuv de Rabbanan. Why? Because most Jews did not live in Eretz Yisrael during Ayasheni, so there wasn't Bias Kulchan. But specifically the Levim. And being that the Levim were needed, Ezra made a Knas. So the question is, where do you know this? So the Gemara says, Dechsev, it's a Pasuk, and Sefer Ezra. The Pasuk says, V'ekbetem el anor haba al ahava, v'nach nesham yomim shloishav, avinu ba'om b'kehanim, u'mipnei levi loy matzasi sham. It's a Mefurash Pasuk that Ezra says, I couldn't find Levim. I'm Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, Betchilu lo hayu ma'midim shaitrim el milan Levim. In the olden days, whenever the Yidden had to appoint shaitrim, shaiftim v'shaitrim, titan l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. So if they ever had to appoint mishtara, shaitrim, people that were going to be in charge, they used to always appoint from the Levim. Shenemar, v'shaitrim ha'levim lefneichem. Achshav, however, after the knas of Ezra, Ein mamidin shaitrin elam Yisrael. We dafka don't appoint from the Levim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'shaitrim harabim birasheichem. The rabbim sounds like the majority of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael could be divided into two groups. There's Levim, Sheva Levi, and then there's everybody else. Everybody else would be the rabbim. The Levim would be the minority. And if the pasuk says, v'shaitrin harabim birasheichem, so you see that we dafka appoint from the rest of Klal Yisrael, Dafka, not from the Levim, and this is another knas, another consequence that came about as a result of the fact that the Levim did not heed the call, and they did not go up in the beginning of Bayesheni. Not for now, but if you think about it for a second from a Machshava perspective, it's actually fascinating, because had it Shevet Levi become an Ummah, had it Shevet Levi become a nation, they became a nation because when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Shem Elai, who came? Shevet Levi was the one that came. Ironically, Shevet Levi, at some point in history, when once again there was a ramp call, a bas call that said, Mila Shem Elai, Shevet Levi said, you know what? No, we're going to stay in Bavel. We're not going up into Eretz Yisrael. And it's precisely for that reason that they lost everything. I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the reason we're taking away from the Levim. Because the whole schus that the Levim have to be Levim is because they're the leaders. They're the ones that take the initiative. Mila Shem Elai is Shevet Levi. Now, when suddenly there was a rifyon in that inyan, it's for that reason Levi ends up losing a lot of what Levi really stands for. So we know so much about the Levim, but this is a sometimes forgotten point in history. And that is the Levim were penalized in a very, very significant way. How significant? Well, for starters, Maiserishin, which was something that was their literal bread and butter, a very, very powerful stream of revenue for Levim throughout the ages. Ezra, using the koyach of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, took away from them. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in the raid. Zok, the Mishnah Vayter. So not surprisingly, this parak ends the way the parak really began and the way the last several prakim began and ended, and that is continuing to discuss laws of Truma and Meiser. And really, like the first two Mishnayos of this parak, this Mishnah is a Chazara. So really, we're not going to learn too many halachas in this Mishnah. We will learn some halachas, but not too many halachas. A lot of information, a lot of tziurim, but like Taisa spoke out in the beginning of the parak, it's really not so much to be mechadish groisa halachas, but Kane derech hatana la'achash epirish hilches ha'mesech t'choyze v'shoyne oysen b'loshen kotzer k'dei she'ei mesudarim b'yotcha shmur b'pev alev loshen toisvis. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Yontif, in the beginning of the perek, Tois over there was saying it more in the context of the Yevamah sugyas. Now we're going to see it again in the context of the Truma sugyas. So what do we need for this Mishnah? Something that we already know, because we've seen it again and again and again and again and again. And that is a bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. If she marries a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. What happens if her marriage is terminated? She gets divorced or her husband dies? It depends. If she has no children, she goes back to not being able to eat truma. If she had a child from the kohen, then she's allowed to eat truma. A bas kohen is just the opposite. Bas kohen is allowed to eat truma. If she marries a Yisrael or a Levi for that matter, so the halach is she's not allowed to eat truma. What happens if the marriage is terminated? Again, it depends. If she has no children, she goes back to being able to eat truma again. If she had a child from the Yisrael or from the Levi, then she will not be able to eat truma. Zok the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael, she nisses a kohen. Bas Yisrael that's married to a kohen. Toichel b'truma, she's allowed to eat truma. Mace, what happens if the kohen dies? The la heimenu ben, and she had a son from this kohen. Toichel b'truma, she can continue to eat truma. Nisses the Levi, what happens if the same woman, after her husband, the kohen, died, went and married a Levi? So then the halach is toichel b'meiser. She's allowed to eat meiser. To keep this Mishnah simple, we're going to say that the Mishnah is Rameyer, who was the Tana of the previous Mishnah, who holds that only a Levi and a Kohen are allowed to eat Meiser. Just like Truma's Asal Lazarim, so to Meiser's Asal Lazarim. So now that this Bas Yisrael married a Levi, now she's allowed to eat Meiser. But Rashi speaks out, she could only eat Meiser and she can't eat Truma. That's very important. You would think maybe she could continue to eat Truma. Why? She has a son that's a Kohen. So let the son that's a Kohen allow her to continue to eat Truma. The Teretz is the fact that she's married to a Levi overrides the fact that she has a son that's a Kohen, and therefore, being that a Levi can't eat Truma, a Levi's a Zar, Klape Truma, no different than a Yisrael, so it's for that reason she's not allowed to eat Truma. So Toichel b'Meiser, yeah, that's a benefit she has, but at the same time she loses her right to eat Truma. Meis, what happens if now the Levi died, v'lohi menu ben, and she had a son that was a Levi, so she has a son, a Kohen from the first marriage, she has a son, a Levi from the second marriage, Toichel b'Meiser. Again, she eats Meiser, but she does not eat Truma. Why? Because although she has a son that's a Kohen, that technically could be Meichel or Betruma, but the son that's a Levi disallows her from being able to eat Truma. Now, she has a son that's a Levi, who's Meichel or Bemeiser, the son that's a Kohen wouldn't stare that, because a Kohen's also allowed to eat Meiser. Even according to Reb Meir, a Kohen's allowed to eat Meiser. So therefore, she continues to eat Meiser. So this woman just became an Almana twice. She was married to a Kohen, had a child from the Kohen, he died. Then she got married to a Levi, had a child from the Levi, he died. This is Yisrael. She got married a third time, which, by the way, she could only do according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because according to Rebbe, she's already a katlanis, which means she's not allowed to get married anymore. But either way, so this woman goes now, and she marries a Yisrael. Now she can't eat truma, she can't eat mice. Let's just speak it out. It's Gishmak. Even though she has a son that's a Kohen, and she has a son that's a Levi, so you would think there are Sibois here that are being Meichel or Betruma or Bemeiser. The problem is she's married to a Yisrael. Yisrael can't eat truma, and Yisrael, according to Reb Meir, can't eat mice either. So therefore, she ends up having nothing. Mace, what happens if now the Yisrael died? V'lohi menu ben, and she had a son that's a Yisrael. So she has a son that's a Kohen, a son that's a Levi, and a son that's a Yisrael. So the halach is loy toichel. She can't eat loy b'truma v'loy b'meiser. Again, she can't eat truma and meiser. Why? Even though she has a son that's a Kohen, and she has a son that's a Levi, but she also has a son that's a Yisrael. And the son Yisrael, just like the husband Yisrael, that doesn't allow her to be able to eat truma and meiser. Therefore, she can't eat anything. So this woman was married to a Kohen, a Levi, and a Yisrael. She had a son from the Kohen, a son from the Levi, a son from the Yisrael. The Kohen died, the Levi died, and the Yisrael died. At this point in the Mishnah, which is really a story, she has three sons. One's a Kohen, one's a Levi, the other one's a Yisrael. It's not the Mishnah, Meis ben Ami Yisrael. What would happen if her son, that's the Yisrael, would die? So now she has the Kohen and the Levi. So what's the halacha toichel b'meiser? She'd go back to being able to eat meiser. Just like originally when she had the son, the Levi, she was allowed to eat meiser. So she goes back now to being able to eat meiser. The Kohen doesn't shter the meiser. As a result, she could eat meiser. Meis ben Ami Levi. What happens if her son, the Levi, dies? Now she only has a son, a Kohen. Oh, toichel b'truma. She goes back to eating truma. Meis ben Ami Kohen. What happens if her son, the Kohen, dies? So her three husbands die, and Rachmana Litzlan, her three sons die. Now she can't eat truma, she can't eat meiser. Why? Because she started off a Bas Yisrael. When she was married to the Kohen, when she had a son that was a Kohen, she was able to eat truma. Married to the Levi, son of Levi, she was able to eat meiser. Well, now she has no husband that's a Kohen or a Levi. She has no son that's a Kohen or a Levi. And as a result, she's a Bas Yisrael. And therefore, the halach is loy loy truma for loy meiser. So what's the Mishnah about to do? We know already. We know the pattern. The Mishnah is about to repeat this. But instead of talking about a Bas Yisrael,
Yisrael, to a Kohen Levi v'Yisrael, we're going to talk about a Bas Kohen, the Kohen Levi v'Yisrael. Zok the Mishnah. Bas Kohen, Shenisis Yisrael. A Bas Kohen that married a Yisrael. Loi Toicha b'Truma, the Loch is, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Even though Bas Kohen ordinarily is allowed to eat Truma, but if she's married to Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Nes, what happens if the Kohen died, the Yisrael died, the Lohi Menu Ben, and she had a son that's Yisrael? Loi Toicha b'Truma, she can't eat Truma. Nisis Levi, after her husband, the Yisrael died, she went and she married a Levi. So what's the halacha? Toichal b'meiser. She's a lady meiser. She can't eat truma because a Levi is a zar klapi truma, no different than being married to Yisrael. But now, even according to Rameyer, who holds that meiser rishon is also a zarim, she's going to be allowed to eat meiser. This is a little bit of a chiddush because even though she has a son, that's a Yisrael, so you could have thought maybe the son that's a Yisrael would shter her from being able to eat Meiser. No, she's married to a Levi, the Halach is she's allowed to eat Meiser. Meis, what happens if the Levi died, v'lohi menuben, and she had a son that's a Levi? Teichel Meiser, she continues to eat Meiser, even though she has a son that's a Yisrael, but she also has a son, the Levi, and the son that's the Levi overrides the son Yisrael, and she's a lady in Meiser. This is the Kohen. So her husband the Yisrael died, her husband the Levi died. Now she got married to a Kohen. She's a lady Truma. And even though she has a son that's a Levi and a son that's a Yisrael, still the halacha is that if she's married to a Kohen, she's a lady Truma. Meis, what happens if the Kohen dies? And she had a son that's a Kohen. She's a lady Truma because of her son. So again, now she has three sons. A Yisrael, a Levi, and a Kayan. Her three husbands all died. The halacha is, because she has a son that's a Kayan, Toichel b'Truma. Zok the Mishnah, Meis b'nami Kayan. If her son that she had from the Kayan dies, so then the halacha is, Loi Toichel b'Truma. She loses her right to eat Truma. So as long as she had a son that's a Kayan, she was allowed to eat Truma. But once her son that's a Kayan dies, now she has a Yisrael and a Levi, none of them can be Michael or Betruma. As a result, she will not be able to eat Truma. Meis benami Levi, if her son that's a Levi dies, loy toichel b'meiser. So now she only has a son that's a Yisrael, she can't eat Meiser either. Again, we're going according to a Meir that holds Meiser's also Lazar. Meis benami Yisrael, here's the irony. If her son that's a Yisrael dies, so her three husbands died and her three sons died. Rachmana litzlan. But as it relates to the Truma, what's the halacha? Chayzeres levesavia. She goes back to where she started. How did she start? She started as a Bas Kohen. Oh, she started as a Bas Kohen. She can eat Truma again. She goes back to being able to eat Truma. So this Mishnah felt a lot like a Yevamis Mishnah, right? People are dying everywhere, and it's a complicated case, and three marriages and three kids, and six different hypothetical scenarios. Ironically, we're not discussing Yevamis. There was no mention of a Yibum, there was no Chalitza, there was no Tzaras Erva. That's not what we're talking about, but very befitting for Nesachtes Yevamis. Either way, there was one Chiddush that was very, very mavur in this Mishnah, and that is that in the event that Meis Benami Levi, in the event that her son that was a Levi died, Dalach is Toicha B'Truma, she goes back to being able to eat Truma. So what's this referring to? So this is referring to the very, very beginning of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah. The half of the Mishnah was talking about a Bas Yisrael to get married. The second half of the Mishnah was talking about a Bas Kohen to get married. And the Mishnah said that if you have a Bas Yisrael that got married to a Kohen, had a son from the Kohen. So the halach is, the son that's a Kohen is Michael or Betrum. What happens if she gets married to a Levi? Now she can't eat Trum anymore. Or what happens if she gets married to the Levi dies, but she had a son from the Levi? Again, the halach is, she can't eat Truma anymore. However, it was mavur in the Mishnah that in the event that the Levi that she's married to would die, or the Levi that's her son would die, she would go back to being able to eat Truma because of the fact that she has a son right now that's a Kohen that's able to be Michael or Betruma. So if a Bas Yisrael has a son, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that is a Kohen, that Kohen will be Michael or Betruma. If at some point she also has a son that's a Levi, that Levi will not allow her to eat Truma. But if the Levi son dies, then she's going to go back to being able to eat truma, right? Let's just read the words of the Gemara. Meis benami Levi. In the event that her son, that's a Levi, dies, toichal betruma. The halacha is she goes back to eating truma. The hadra achla mishum bena, because she gets to eat again because of her son. As long as she had a son, that's a kohen. As long as it was a Levi, so she wasn't able to eat. But now that the Levi died, now she's able to eat because of her son, that's a kohen. Freit the Gemara minalon. What's the makar to this? Mechateisi. How do you know that? Maybe as long as she had a son that's a kohen. It's true, she was allowed to eat truma, but if in the interim she got married to a Levi, or if in the interim she had a son that's a Levi, maybe even if the Levi died, maybe she doesn't go back to being able to eat truma. I mean, this whole concept that there's a woman that was allowed to eat truma, she lost her right to eat truma, that it's possible for her to be able to eat truma again, is a little bit of a chiddush. Now, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Where does the Torah say it? The Torah talks about a bas kohen. A bas kohen is allowed to eat truma. She gets married to Yisrael. She can't eat truma again. If her husband dies and there's no children, then she goes back to, yes, being able to eat truma again. But really, this whole patent is a little bit of a chiddush. And if that's the case, the Gemara says, me no one, how do you know to extend it to this case? The case of the Torah is mefurish. The Torah is talking about a bas kohen that was married to Yisrael. Marriage was terminated. No children. Go back home and eat truma again. But how do you know a situation like this? How do you know a situation of bas kohen that was married to a bas Yisrael that was married to a kohen, not a bas kohen, a bas Yisrael that was married to a kohen, had a child from the kohen, but also had a child from the Levi. The child from the Levi messed up her ability from being able to eat truma. Now that child died, she gets to go eat truma again because of the fact that she has a son that's a kohen. Mechateisa, Amar Rababa, Amar Rav. So Rababa said in the name of Rav, I'll tell you how we know it, because the Torah, when it mentions the idea that a bas kohen who's married to a Yisrael, marriage is terminated, she goes back to being able to eat truma, it says ubas koyen. It could have said bas. Ubas, that's vav is extra. And because the vav is extra, it's coming to teach me that there's another case that should be included in this pasuk that's not mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. And what is this case? The case that we just mentioned. So it's from the extra vav in the word ubas that we know this halach. The Gemara says, "Kamak Rabbi Akiva the darsh vavi." Do you mean that this teret is only going to work according to Rabbi Akiva who darshened vavs? The Gemara says, "No, afilu tamer rabban is korek even according to rabban kula ubas kroy yisera." Really, the whole word ubas is a kroy yisera, and this is something that we saw a few times earlier in the sugyas of truma. Because really, the whole context of that pasuk is talking about a bas kohen. So why did the Torah have to chazer over ubas kohen? So it's the word ubas that's actually. Rabbi Akiva was the one yachid who darshened vav. But extra words, there's no one who doesn't darshan extra words. Right, you darshan all the essen, Shebet Torah. There's certain words where Chazal debated, yeah, darshan, don't darshan. Kol is a machloikis, whether we darshan. Vavs is a machloikis. But extra words, everyone darshans extra words. So the ribu is based on an extra word. Zok de Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishahi Chayzeres. When this woman is Chayzeres, or really, when any woman is Chayzeres, Chayzeres lechuma, the Eina Chayzeres lechaz of a shock. So we're talking about a bas kohen that was married to a Yisrael. Because she was married to Yisrael, she lost her ability to be able to eat truma. She certainly lost her ability to be able to eat kachin. Now that the marriage is terminated, she goes back home. Zok de Braisa, Kishi Chayzeres, when she goes back home, she goes back to being able to eat truma, but she doesn't go back to being able to eat chaz of a shock. So the chaz of a shock were some of the matnas kahuna from the carbon shlomim. They were kachin. Chaymer bekaydish mi betruma. It's more holy than truma is. As a result, it's more chamer, and even though we say that this woman goes back to being able to eat truma, but she doesn't go back to being able to eat from the chaz of a shayk. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Vina Bar Shela. Micro, what's the makar to this? And the Gemara is going to bring a whole bunch of makaris. So says the Gemara, the first makar, it says, Ubas koin kisil ish zar, he betrumas akachem loy soichel. So Ubas koin that marries a zar, she loses her ability to eat kachem. He betrumas akachem loy soichel, we learn from here, bemuram min hakachem loy soichel, that the thing that's muram from kachem, the thing that's set aside from kachem, referring to the chaz of the shaykh, loy soichal, never. Even if the marriage is terminated and she goes back home, it's true she goes back home to being able to eat truma, but he loy soichal, she's never let eat. Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravu, a different makar. It says, mi lechem, veloy kol lechem. So the pasuk that describes the bas kohen who goes back home and is allowed to eat truma, it says mi lechem avia toichel. So it's mashma mi lechem from the lechem avia, from the matnas kuna she's allowed to eat, but not all of it. Prat, what's it coming to exclude? L'chaz v'shak maskev lo rami bar chama. So Rami bar chama said, according to this second makar, mi lechem veloy kol lechem. So mi lechem, you have a miut that even though she's going back home, but she's not going back home for everything. So what is she not going home back for? So we're saying that she's not going to be able to eat the chaz v'shak. So the Gemara, how do you know that that's what it's coming to me tonight? Aim a prat laf fares and darim. Maybe what the pasuk is coming to say is that if a woman gets married and then her marriage gets terminated, when she goes back home, her husband loses her ability to be made for her nedar. So we know the halacha is that a woman if she's a ketana or a naira that's not married, her father is able to be made for her nedarim. Once she gets married, father loses the ability to be made for the nedarim. However, her husband has the ability to be made for nedarim. And there's a whole parsha in the Torah of how hafaras nedarim works. Sugis and mesachtes nedarim, specifically perek naira murasa. But the point is, there's a parsha of hafaras nedarim. What happens if a woman got married and then she ended up going back home? Because, unfortunately, her marriage was terminated. Does the father have the ability to be made for nedarim or not? You could hear it, Saad, maybe, yeah. So says the Gemara, maybe when it says mi lechem v'loi kol lechem, it's not coming to be mamayit chaz v'shoik. Maybe it's not even coming to be mamayit elechem. Maybe it's not even coming to be mamayit food. Maybe what it's coming to be mamayit is that the father doesn't have the ability anymore to be mefer nedarim. So how do you know lemayit chaz v'shoik? Maybe it's coming to be mamayit something else. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. So Rava said, kvar posko toni v'rabishmo. Meaning, the halacha you're saying is true, but we know it already from somewhere else. Meaning it's something that was already learned out from a different makar. In fact, it's discussed in a brisa. What's this brisa? Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, the neder aman or grusha yakum ala. So in the parsha of Afaras Nedarim, it says in the Torah that if an aman or grusha would make a neder yakum ala, that neder is for sure going to be in effect. No one's going to be made for it. Afraid to gemar matam alem. Why do you have to tell me that the neder of an aman and a grusha is always going to be in effect? Valoi mutz michlal love and mutz michlal ba. Who's supposed to be made for it? If she's an aman or grusha, she doesn't have a husband. And if she's an aman or a grusha, that means she got married already. Once she got married, her father loses the reshus that he had in her, and as a result, he can't be made for it anyways. Elo says the Bryce, I'll tell you why we need this pasuk, because there is an in-between case, meaning there is a case where there would have been a havamina, maybe someone could be made for kamashmulana. The case is Aresha Masar of the Shluchi Abal. The case is where the father was marrying off his daughter, which a father has a right to do in certain instances. So the father is now marrying off his daughter, and he was Masar the girl, the shluchi abal. The baal sent shluchim, and he handed over his daughter to the shluchim. Or it wasn't the father that was moisa to the shluchi abal, but the father's own shluchim were moisa to the shluchi abal. So there was no marriage yet. However, something happened. Masara of the shluchi abal, or masru shluchi of the shluchi abal. In Mesechtes Ksubas, it's mavur, that doing that is something. I mean, ordinarily you would say either they're married or they're not married. There's actually this concept of like a marriage l'chatzom. It's known as Masar of l'shluchi abal. So what would happen if that happened? V'nes armelo in the skar shabaderech. And then on the way, she became an almana, she became a gerusha. Hei chani kai reba. So here we can clarify shayla already. Who has the schus to be made for nedarim? Beis avia shalzu or beis baila shalzu? Is it the father? Or maybe not, because he was already Masar. So maybe it's the husband. But maybe not. The husband didn't do real nesuin yet. Eloi melacha, and this pasuk teaches us that kivan sheyatzah shah achas mirshusav shuv ani yachal lahafer. That once she leaves the rishusav, at that point the father can't do it and the husband can't do it, and that's what the pasuk is saying. V'neder amanu grusha yakum aleha. That in the case where it was masar of the shulchi abal and she became an amanu or a grusha, so avada the father, the husband can't do it because there was never, there's no husband. But even the father, where you would have had a havamino, that maybe in this case he could do it because she never really left his rishus. All there was masar. Even that's not going to be okay. But what do you see from this brayso? You see clearly, it's very mavur in this brayso that once the father's even masar, at that point he's out of the picture. Done. He doesn't have the ability anymore to be made for nedar. Because what happened in this case? He was masar l'shluchi abal, and then she ended up coming back home. Nisar malay niskarsha. And the pasuk says amanu grusha yakum aleh, that the father can't be made for. So you see, once the father marries her off, even if he's only masar, at that point he's out of the equation. So we don't need milachem aloy kol lechem to teach me prat l'this. What is it coming to teach me? What it's coming to teach me is prat l'chazav ashay. So again, we're trying to determine mekayros, how we know that a bas kohen that was married to Yisrael, and then the marriage gets terminated, she goes back home, she's able to eat truma again, it's a pasuk in the Torah, but not chos of a shoik. So far we have two makaris. The Gemara's continue. Rav Safra, and Rav Safra said, I have a different makar. It says, milechem avio toicha. She's allowed to eat from the bread of her father. Lechem is broit obivoloi basa. Not flesh. She's not allowed to eat the meat. Meaning, not chaz v'shoik. Chaz v'shoik is meat. Rapapa said, lechem avio toichal means lechem akonu lavio. She's not, the Torah says she's allowed to eat from the bread that belongs to her father. A lumdis, a real kachem lumdis. Prat l'chaz v'shoik, the meshulchan gavaya kazachu. So this is kachem 101. Whenever kohanim ate kachem, the way we look at it is they were really guests at a Kadosh Baruch Hu shulchan. Fascinating idea. when you bring a carbon to the Eibishta, there's many psukim in the Torah that describe the carbon as the food of Hashem. In Heyochel, Teyochel, B'shtei Achilos HaKasim Medaber, Echad Achilos Adam, Echad Achilos Mizbeach, even the whole idea of a Reach Nichayach, there's many, many sources to this. But the concept is that when a carbon is brought, all of the carbon belongs to the Eibishta. It just so happens, Hashem is shearing, and He tells the Kayanim, you can have a little bit. And the expression that Chazal used to describe this is the Kayhanim are eating Mishulchan Kavaya. So here's the point. The Torah refers to what the girl that goes back home is allowed to eat as Lechem Aviha. It's not just that it's in her father's house. It's really hers. It's Kanuila. Kachim is not Lechem Aviha because Kachim is Mishulchan Kavaya Kazach. V'Rabam, Rabbah said a fifth Mekar. It says, V'schazay atnufa v'sheik atruma toichlu ata uvanecha uvnoisecha. And the last word in this pasuk is itach, and we learn from here that it's only bezman she itach, it's only when she's with you, but once she leaves, at that point, she's out of the picture, she's not going to be able to eat anymore. Okay, so we just brought a braisa, that's it, that a bas kohen that's married to Yisrael, marriage gets terminated, there's no children, she goes back home, she's allowed to eat truma. Only truma she's allowed to eat, but she's not allowed to eat chaz v'shay. In fact, we had five makayers to this. Here's the punchline, and why are we even talking about this right now? So this is all a segue to something that the Gemara just discussed, and that is Amar Rav Ada bar Rahava. Tano, there's another braisa. Shehi chayzeres lebeis aviyo. When she's chayzeres lebeis aviyo, meaning a bas kohen that goes back home, chayzeres lechuma, v'ene chayzeres lechazav v'shay. Like we just said, she goes back to being able to eat chuma, but she's not allowed to eat chazav v'shay. Bishvil bina. However, a woman that goes back to eating chuma again because of her son, so, for example, the case that we had on top of the Yom, you had a Bas Yisrael that had a son that was a Kayin. She was eating Truma because of her son that was a Kayin. Then something happened. She married a Levi. She had a son that was a Levi. That was the case that the Gemara mentioned. Could be she was married to a Yisrael, had a son that was a Yisrael, and then that marriage got terminated, or the son died. So now she's going back to eat Truma again. She's going back to eat Truma as a Bas Yisrael, who has a schus to eat Truma because she has a son that's a Kayin. So when she's Chayzeres, she goes back af l'chaz of a Sheik. She's even allowed to eat Chaz of a Sheik. So the Bas Kayin, who's able to eat Truma because she's Kodesh Merechem, she goes back after her marriage to the Yisrael was terminated. She could only eat Truma, not Chaz of a Sheik. But this Bas Yisrael who's eating Truma because she has a son that's a Kayin, in the event it was the interim period, she wasn't able to eat, she goes back to even eating Chaz of a Sheik. So the Gemara says, Azul Ram Mordechai. Ram Mordechai heard this Price. He told it to Rav Ashi. Amar. So Rav Ashi looked at him and he said, this price, it can't be true. He said, what's the makar that a Bas Yisrael that has a son that's a Kayan, that has an interim period where she can't eat Truma anymore, that she goes back, that she's Chayzeris eating Truma? That was the first Gemara. Minolon, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav. It said, could have said Bas, it said Ubas, or it didn't even have to say the word Ubas in the first place. It's all a riboy from the parasha that a Bas Kayan that's Chayzeres. Meaning, a Bas Yisrael that has a son that's a Kayan is Chayzeres, because a Bas Kayan that's Chayzeres. So Rav Ashi said, Mehecha kamis rabio me Ubas, is mi adifa la mina, dai love him in adin, li is kanadon. How could her Chayzeres be more stark then the Bas Kayin's Chayzeres? The whole Makar that a Bas Yisrael who has a son that's a Kayin is Chayzeres is from the fact that the Bas Kayin is a Chayzeres. So how could it be more of a Chayzeres? So Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashi, he says, I don't know if it's a Kasha, because Hasan Ksivi Miyuti, Ksivi Miyuti. I mean, I hear what you're saying. He said, but at the end of the day, there's a Miyut for a Bas Kayin. There's no Miyut for a Bas Yisrael that has a son that's a Kayin. So it could be where there's a Miyut, where there's no Miyut, there's not going to be a Miyut. Bas Kayin, Chenisis, Li Yisrael, V'chulu. More on this same thing. Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Torah, Veshava El Beis Avia. So again, we're talking about a Bas Kohen that was married to a Yisrael. As long as she's married, she can't eat truma. Husband dies, no children, she goes back. Now it says, Veshava El Beis Avia. We learn from there, Prat L'Shemer Asiyah. What would happen if a Bas Kohen was married to a Yisrael? We'll call him Reuven. Reuven died, there were no children. Now she fell a yibam to Reuven's brother, who we will call Shimon. So she's a shemeres yibam now to a Yisrael. So what's the halacha? Does she go back home or does she not go back home? The shovel ve'savia. Physically, is she going back home? No, because she's zokuk to Shimon. Therefore, the halacha, she doesn't go back to being able to chum. Meaning, even though technically she checks off all the boxes, she's a bas kohen. Her husband, the Yisrael, died. There were no children, but she's a Shemeres Yavam. Because she's a Shemeres Yavam, she's not really Shavel Beis Aviyah, and therefore she can't eat Truma. It says, Kin Ne'ureh. She only eats Truma when she goes back the way she was when she was younger. Meaning she comes back home the way she left. Begapa yove, begapa yetze. Pratla muberes. If she comes back a muberes, it's not kinu'urel. It's not the way she left. And as a result, in that case too, she will not be able to eat truma. So two halachas. Number one, a shemeres. Yovim doesn't eat truma. She's not chayzeres. And a muberes is also not chayzeres. Now the Gemara is going to introduce a very interesanta kal v'chomer. Sok the Gemara. I don't understand. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me? Pratla muberes. V'haloi dinu. L'chayra. I should know it, mikal v'chomer. I should know mikal v'chomer that a bas koyen that's married to a Yisrael, the Yisrael died, she's me'uberes, that she doesn't go back to Yitzhuma. Meaning, I should know mikal v'chomer that the Uber is poisel her from being chayzeres and doesn't allow her to continue to Yitzhuma. How so? Umabim mokim shalei osa vladmin orishoin ke vladmin asheni lepoitrim en ayibum, because madoch, when it comes to yibum, where loy osa vladmin orishoin ke vladmin asheni lepoitrim en ayibum. Yibum gets set up when Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies, he leaves over no children. What would happen if Reuven had a child? That's easy. There'd be no Yibum. What would happen if Reuven's wife had a child from a previous marriage? Would there be Yibum? Would there not be Yibum? There's a child, but it's from a previous marriage. Of course there wouldn't be Yibum. So ma ben makom, meaning by Yibum, shalei osa vlad men arishon kevlad men asheni, where a vlad from a previous marriage is not like the vlad from the current marriage. Lo poitrim min hayibum, to be able to pater from Yibum, meaning the fact that she had a child from a previous marriage is neither here nor there. By the way, what's the reason for it? The Gemara is going to tell it to us right when we say Hadron Alach Perakesh Mutaris. But no reason to be in suspense, because we know the answer anyways. It's because it's very nice she has a child from a previous marriage, but he doesn't have a child from a previous marriage. It's all about him. So really what depends on is, does he have a child or does he not have a child? But the bottom line is that madach, when it comes to Yibum, that a child from a previous marriage is not like a child from the current marriage, meaning it can't pater yet. Also uber ki yolud, but the halach is that an uber is like a child, meaning a child from a previous marriage does not have any impact. But an uber does have an impact. If Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven dies, he's over no children. But Reuven's wife is a muberes, so there's not going to be Yibum. A child from a previous marriage doesn't knock out Yibum. Doesn't pater from Yibum. But an uber does pater from Yibum. So it's a kal v'chomer. So mokim shasa vlad men orishon ke vlad men asheni. So a situation where you find that a vlad from a previous marriage would be as effective as a vlad from a current marriage, l'poisla min atruma, enoy din shenasa uber kiyalot. So certainly the halacha should be that an uber should be like a child. Now, where do you find by truma that a child from a previous marriage is the same as a child from a current marriage? So Rashi speaks out the case, four lines from the bottom. Bas koyin shenisses li Yisrael. He had a bas koyin that was married to Yisrael, v'yoldoloy, and the Yisrael had a child. Umeis, and then the Yisrael died. V'nisses la'achar, she got married to somebody else. Umeis b'loy banim, and then the second husband died with no children. So really, based on the current marriage, this bas koyin was married to Yisrael. The Yisrael died, left over no children. What happens if a bas koyin is married to Yisrael? The Yisrael dies, has no children. That's the Torah. This shavah beisavir. She goes back home. That's when she's chayzeres. But in this case, she had been married to a different Yisrael prior, and she had a son from the prior Yisrael that she was married to. So she has a son from a previous marriage. Zokter Rashi, adayin hi asura b'trumo. She's still going to be asura b'trumo b'trum vlad ben arishon because of the child that she has from the first child. So you see, from the first husband. So you see that a child from a previous marriage is considered a child to mess her up from being able to eat truma. So kal v'chomer and uber should be able to do the same thing. So really, what do you vamis and truma have in common? Other than the fact that so far half the mesachta came out with yibum and the other half of the mesachta dealt with truma, I'm not sure. But it's a wild kal v'chomer and a vild tzushtel. Again, when you learn it, tafyomidig. And l'chura the Gemara is saying that madach by yibum, where the child from a previous marriage doesn't pat the yibum, the uber pat the yibum. So kal v'chomer, when it comes to a bas koyin who wants to be chayzeres to be able to eat truma, where a child from a previous marriage does knock it out, so kal v'chomer and uber should be able to knock it out. Okay, and if that's the case, what's the kasha? What's the kasha? The punchline? Why do I need a pasik of kinu re prat le muberes lomeli kras svaruhu? I know it based on a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says loy mali also uber ki yalud in yibum. It could be yibum is different because maybe by yibum it's true the uber is like a yalud. That is true, but it's shari also mesim kechayim because when it comes to yibum, you find that a child that dies, it's as if he was alive. Meaning, what would happen, again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. We're going back to some nuts and bolts of Yevamos. What happens if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven dies, he leaves over a child. There's no Yibum. What happens if the child dies? Now she falls liyibum? No, she doesn't fall liyibum. So you see that a child that is dead is like a child that's alive. Mesim akechayim, right? That's the whole spirit of Yevamis. Tchias amesim digeinion, like the Ramban says in Parashas Vayeshev. But in Yibum, you find also mesim kechayim. That mesim are treated like chayim. So maybe over there, nasa ubrikiyolot. Aber leinion truma shaloy also mesim kechayim. When it comes to truma, mesim are not like chayim, because as we saw, when it comes to truma, that was the whole Mishnah. If a woman has a child and then the child dies, it's as if the child is not here. Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen. Kohen dies, but she has a child that's a Kohen. She's allowed to eat truma because of the child that's a Kohen. What happens if the Kohen dies? So now she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. Meaning if her son would die, she loses her ability to eat truma. Mesim are not kechayim when it comes to truma. So maybe year two, an Uber is not going to be kiyalud. It's because it's not a bulletproof kal v'chaymer that we need a pasik, talmud lemekin ureh, prat limit uberes. So the bottom line is, the piece that we need to segue moving forward is that if you have a bas kohen that was married to a Yisrael, the halacha is no children, she goes back home. If she's a me'uberes, so then the halacha is, then she does not have the ability to truma. If she has children, of course, she also doesn't have the ability to be able to eat truma. So again, no children and she's not muberes, that's when she's chayzeres. If she has an upper, or if she has a mishpacha, one child even, so then the halacha is, if she has a child from the Yisrael, she will not be able to eat truma. Says the Gemara, v'itzrach l'michta muberes, v'itzrach l'michta v'zera enlo. Interesting, we need to know that an upper would passel her from being able to eat truma, and we need to know that a physical child would passel her. Meaning you wouldn't know one from the other. You would think, once I know an upper, kal v'choymer, a child, right? But no, the Gemara says, I actually need both. The itzrich lemichta muberes, the itzrich lemichta v'zera einla. Why dikas v'chmad v'zera einla? Had I only know v'zera einla, I would have told me karachad gufa v'ash the trey gufi. Maybe why is it that if she has a child and she's coming back home with a child, she can't eat truma because when she left her house, she was one person. Now she's coming home with children. So she left as one person, she's coming back as two. Avo muberes, demi karachad gufa v'ash chad gufa imetechel. But a muberes, when she left, she was one person and she's coming back, she's also one person. At the end of the day, she's one person. So because she's one person, so I would have thought maybe this she could tzricha because Rachman Muberes, and had I only known Muberes, I would have thought to me Kara Gufa Srika Vahashta Gufa Malya. In the case of the Muberes, maybe there it's worse. You know why? Because although she's one person, but that one person is not the same person. When she left, she wasn't carrying a baby. When she came back, she has a baby in her womb. Aval Zera Einla. But the fact that she has children, maybe that has nothing to do with her, because her mitzias is the same. The mikara gufa srika. When she left, she was a gufa srika. What does srika mean? Rashi says, kemo ilon srak, like an ilon that has no fruit. Meaning when she left, she had no child inside of her. The hash the gufa srika. And now she's the same gufa srika. So emalai, I would have thought it's different. Tzricha. Therefore, I need to know that I'm uberes, and I need to know in the event that she has no children. Simen. So this is a long simon. Amar lei loy nasa maseha b'misa nasa v'loy nasa b'vlad yavam v'truma yibam v'truma simon. I forgot to look in the Aderes to see what he says about the simon. This simon is like a whole story. But either way, it's a long simon, and really it's setting up this last gemara. So we'll go through this last gemara fairly quickly because it's a long daf and it got laid early. But what the gemara is about to do is, the gemara is about to continue to juxtapose a little bit this concept and the chilek between Yibum and between Truma. So we're going to really focus on two things. Two of the three things the Gemara already spoke about in Amman Aleph. Number one, by Yibum you find this idea that Mesim HaKachayim. Right? Yibum gets set up when Reuven dies and leaves over no children. What if Reuven had a child and then the child died? It's as if the child's alive. Mesim HaKachayim. By Truma we said Mesim are not like Chayim. So a Bas Kohen that's married to Yisrael has a child that's a Kohen. The Kohen is Meichel B'Truma. But if the Kohen dies, now she can't eat Truma anymore. Mesim are not K'chayim. Another difference that you find between Yibum and Truma is that by Yibum, a child from a previous marriage is neither here nor there. So if Reuven dies and Reuven's wife has a child from a previous marriage, doesn't matter. It doesn't affect anything. When it comes to Truma, however, that's not the case. So a Bas Kohen that was married to a Yisrael and had a child, then got married to another Yisrael and didn't have a child, she's not going home to eat Truma. Because the fact that she had a child from the previous marriage, that's going to disallow her to eat Truma. The Gemara, the high level is going to feel that this is a shtickle inconsistent. Meaning, we're being machmer by Yibum, and then we're being Mako by Yibum, and then we're being machmer by Truma, we're being Mako by Truma. L'chayra, this should be a little bit more consistent. The fact that Yibum and Truma are this way as it relates to this halacha, and that way as it relates to that halacha, is an inconsistency, and the Gemara is going to try to see why this is the way it is. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda midaskarta l'Rava. Rabbi Yehuda midaskarta told Rava, Loi nasna mesim kechayim l'inyin yibam, l'chayra, mesim shouldn't be like chayim l'inyin yibam. This chiddush, that a mes is like a chay l'inyin yibam, that if Reuven had a child, the child died, there's no yibam. The mace is as if he's alive. It shouldn't be that way. Based on a kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer from Truma? Mabe makom shalos Vlad menarishin kevlad menasheini lepaisa menat Truma. Lo yosa mesim v'chaym. Madach by Truma, where the Vlad from the first marriage is not like the Vlad from the second marriage. Still lo yosa mesim kechayim. So makom shalos yosa Vlad menarishin kevlad menasheini lepaisa menat Yibam. By Yibam, where the Vlad from the first marriage is not like the Vlad from the second marriage. Eino din shalay nasa mesim kechayim. So certainly the mesim shouldn't be like the chayim. If the Vlad Menarishin is not like the Vlad Menasheni, so certainly the Mesim shouldn't be like, that's the Gemara's Kasha. Tamaloyim, the Gemara says, you want to know why Mesim are treated like Chaim Lin and Yibum? It's because the Racher Darchi Noyam V'chol Nasivay Se'ah Shalom. It's because if you would tell this woman that when your husband died, you weren't Zoykik Li Yibum. Why? You had a son. 5 years later, the son dies. Now, all of a sudden, she's Zoykik Li Yibum. Do you realize how that's going to mess her up, and how confused she's going to be, and all the shailas she's going to have to ask, and what if she got married already? And the Torah is Darchei Noyam, the Chol Nasivay Se'ah Shalom, and the Torah would never do anything that's cruel and unusual. And to tell a woman that years later, you should know you just fell a Yibum, that's not Darchei Noyam, and that's why it's not the way it is. Meaning, even though maybe based on a Kal V'Chaymer, it should be this way, but it's not going to be that way. So, Nocha Kasha. V'nasa Mesim Chayim Le'in Truma. Maybe when it comes to Truma, Mesim should be like Chayim, Mikal V'Chaymer. Kal V'Chaymer from Yibum. It's the reverse Kal V'Chaymer. Ma'ba, Makam Shalei Yosef, Vlad Menarishin, Kavlad Menasheini, L'Paitre Menayibim, Masa Mesim Kachayim. Madach by Yibum, where the Vlad Menarishin is not like the Vlad Menasheini. Yet Mesim is like Chayim. So Makam Shalei Vlad Menarishin, Kavlad Menasheini, L'Paitre Menachumo. So by Truma, where Vlad Menarishin is Kavlad Menasheini, Einoi Din Shanasa Mesim Kachayim. So certainly Mesim should be like Chayim. Talmud Loimar, Vizera Einla, Vaha Einla. It says Vizera Einla. At the end of the day, wherever the Torah talks about a woman being Chayzeris, what does it say? Does she have a child? Does she not have a child? So if there was a child and then the child died, Lamaisa right now it's Vizera Einla. And because it's Vizera Einla, therefore she's out. Says the Gemara. Okay, Venasa Vladman Arishon ki Vladman Asheni, L'inyin Yibum Mikal V'chaymer. L'chura, a Vladman Arishon should be like a Vladman Asheni L'inyin Yibum, based on a Kal V'chaymer. It's the same building blocks, which is drying it this way, and then we're drying it that way. So Vladman Arishin should be like a Vladman Asheni by Yibum. Kal V'chaymer from Truma. Ma be Makom Shalei Yosem Mesim Kechayim L'inyin Truma. Asa Vladman Arishin Kevladman Asheni. Madach by Truma where Mesim are not like Chayim. Still, Vlam and Arishin's Kavlam and Asheni, Mokum Shasa Mason Kahain Linyan Yibum. So by Yibum, where Mason are Kahayim, Ain't Adin Shanasa Vlam and Arishin Kavlam and Asheni, Tamaloymar Uvain Ainloy. The end of the day, it says Uvain Ainloy, the Ha Ainloy. And Lamaisa, then Ainloy, he has no child. Meaning, being that at the end of the day, this person has no child, so who cares that his wife had a child from a previous marriage, but he had no child? So if he had no child, so how could there be a Mitzvah Yibum? And finally, Vloy Nasa Vlam and maybe the halacha should be that a Vlad Men Arishin should not be like the Vlad Men Asheni based on a Kal V'Chaymer from Yibum. By Yibum, where Chayim are like Mesim, or Mesim are like Chayim, the halacha is lo yosef Vlad Men Arishin kevlad Men Asheni. So makom shle yosef Mesim kechayim. So by Truma, where Mesim are not like Chayim, ain't it in shle nasa Vlad Men Arishin kevlad Men Asheni. So certainly a Vlad Men Arishin should not be like a Vlad Men Asheni. Talmud Loimar, it says ain love a. I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, the Torah says the only time a Bas Kohen could ever go back to eating truma is if she has no children. If she has a child, even if she had it from a previous marriage, at the end of the day, she has a child, and it's for that reason she cannot eat truma. It's just so interesting because, you know, we said this so many times. The first 50 or so dafin of Yevamis dealt with Yevamis, and then the last 30 dafin were truma, and then somehow the Gemara managed to merge and combine these two things with all these Shverer Kal V'Chaymers. But either way, this segment of the Masechta really, really ends with bringing it all together, where Yibum somehow really meets the laws of Truma. And on that note, Hadron Alach Yesh Mutaros, and Me'etz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to begin Perek O'Isha Rabbah. Talk about a famous parak. But for now, Hadron Alach Yesh Mutaros, and just to speak out, two ha'aros related to today's daf. So the first ha'ara is, The daf began with the knas of Ezra. So, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Ezra leads the way up into Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Kayhanim are going to do the Avodah. And to a certain degree, they're going to bring back the glory days of what once was, despite the fact they had just been in Golos, and they went through the trauma of the Purim story, and they were under the governance of Parus Umadai, but at the same time, they had an opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is, Ezra looked around, and there were no Levium. He could not find Levium. He found Kayanim, he found people from different Shvatim, but Levium he couldn't find, and he was very, very disturbed. So much so, he took action, and he penalized them. And the primary knas that he issued upon the Levium was that even though you have a biblical right to get 10% of everything that grows in the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, but I'm taking it away from you. Who am I giving it to? Machlik is in the Gemara. Do Amayram that said that Ezra gave it to the Kayhanim, and then do Amayram that said that Ezra gave it to the Aniyim. But everyone agrees that he took it away from the Levium, and the reason was because of this Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. The Minchas Chinuch asks a bombakasha. And it's a kasha based on a shita sataz that's in the conversation for the most famous taz in Shulchan Aruch, and it's certainly a taz that we've talked about Be'ezus Hashem many times over the years. And that is the taz says a yisoid that even though yesh koyach biyad chachamim lakir davim in atayra, a sugi that's coming up in the coming dafin, but at the same time the chachamim have a limitation, and that is they can't be oiker something that's mefurish in the Torah. So if the Torah says something, they don't have the ability to completely uproot and tell you that pasuk in the Torah, ignore it. That's not something you should look at. Meaning, the Chachamim have a right to limit things, and the Chachamim have a right to make takonas and gzeiris. But to be oikner, adovim, and atayra legamri, that's not something that the Chachamim have a right to do. Where does the Taz say it? A few places. Let's just mention two. One place that the Taz says it is that we know we blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah, right? Of course. Freit the Taz, and really the Rishonim asked the Kasha, why do you blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? We don't play instruments on Shabbos, we don't play with instruments on Yantif. Why? Shemi Yisakin Klishir. So why did the Chachamim make a takana that you shouldn't be able to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Shemi Yisakin Klishir. Says the Taz, you're going to tell me because the Chachamim would never make a takana to be Mevatel a mitzvah? Machmas Gzeira? What do you mean? When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow Shofar. Shemi Yavirenu Dalan Amis Peshus Harabim. So no, that was a classic concern that Chazal always had. Chazal were always so worried Shemi Yisakin Kli Mana. So if that's the case, why is it that you blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? Zok the Taz, Zayin Lamdis. He says, because the Chum have a right to tell you that if Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, don't blow Shofar. But they don't have a right to tell you can never blow Shofar. Because telling you that you can never blow Shofar is being oiker adovim and atayr legamri. But telling you that you can't blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they're not being oiker adovim legamri, because if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, then you will be able to blow Shofar. So when you're being oiker adovim legamri, that's not something that you're allowed to do. Another place that the Taz says it is, another kasha that the Rishonim ask is, we know Mila is doicha Shabbos, but Machshirei Mila is not doicha Shabbos. Machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim, this is of Perek Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila fame, but we pass on like the Chachamim that the Etzem Mila is Doicha Shabbos, but the Machshirei Mila not. Meaning, a Moyel is not allowed to carry his Messer, Dalan Amis Peshus HaRabim on Shabbos to do Bris Mila. You're not allowed to carry the baby in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos to do Bris Mila. I'm Mila's Doicha Shabbos. That just means the actual Mila's Doicha Shabbos, the Mila, the Priya. But all the Machshirei Mila are not going to be Doicha Shabbos. A Machshirei Rishonim that if all the Machshirim are not Doicha Shabbos, why aren't we worried that Shema Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshus HaRabim, that maybe the Moyel is going to carry his Rentzel on his way to do the Bris Mila, or the mother of the child is going to carry the baby on her way to bring the child, the priest of Avram Avinu, Be'itay B'zman, and you're going to end up having a problem of Shema Yavirenu Dal Ramas Peshus HaRabim. And again, the Rishonim say, you're going to tell me we would never impose a gzera to be mevatel a mitzvah? What do you mean? We don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. We don't take talit minim. We don't lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. So l'chura, wouldn't it be very reasonable to say, and the Rishonim say different terutzim, zok the taz, l'fi ma yisoid, it's pasha what the teretz is. Because there's a special drosha by Yoy Mashmini Larabois that Milas Leicha Shabbos. And once we have a special drosha that Milas Leicha Shabbos, if you're going to tell me now you can't do Milah on Shabbos, you're being Oikar a Dover that's Mefurish in the Torah. You're not being Oikar a Mitzvah because you can do Milah the whole week, but you're being Oikar a drosha because the drosha says Shabbos and you're telling me now Mit Shabbos. And Zoktataz, even for that, you're not able to do. Either way, Frank the Mechas Chinuch in Mitzvah, Shin Tzadik, hey, a Moiridig Akasha. A bombakasha. Right there. How then was Ezra allowed to go and penalize the Levian? How was Ezra allowed to say, don't give the Meiser to the Levian? It's Mefurish in the Torah that you're supposed to give the Meiser to the Levian. So if it's Mefurish in the Torah, you're supposed to give the Meiser to the Levian, by Ezra saying, don't give it to the Levian, he's being Oikudavim in our Torah. Now let's just speak out the Cheshbon, because we just learned the Gemara together yesterday and we saw it again today. So Bishlam, according to the Manama, that says that what was Ezra's takana? Give it to the Kayhanim. And you want to tell me, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Kayhanim anyways allowed to get him a Midairaisa. So maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room. But number one, most Tanam held that it was only Midairaisa meant to be given to the Levim. And besides, there's a Manama that says that the Knas was given to the Aniyim. So Freitam in Chaschinuch, Poshib Shad, how did Ezra have a right to take it away from the Levium? It's a pasuk in the Torah, you have to give it to the Levium. And Lefi the Taz, the Chachamim have no right to make Zeiris and Takonis to be Oiker, a Dover that's Mefurish in the Torah. And if that's the case, how is it allowed to do it? Now, when we learned the Gemara, we said that what was Ezra's right? It was Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Yeah, Hefker Bezdin Hefker is a mominous to Geinyan, but to be Oiker a mitzvah and a din in the Torah. Even Mila B'Shabbos, the Taz held, you can't be Oiker. So if that's the case, how could you be Oiker a Mefurish a pasuk in the Torah that says that what do you do with the Maisa Sheini? You're supposed to give it to the Levian. Zokta min chaschinuch, v'ruyin advarim l'misha amram, that yesh loymar, that this kasha, we're coming full circle, was the makar to the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam that we spoke about in the beginning of the week. The Rambam that says that even though Ktusha Shni is Kitchela Shaita v'Kitchela Asalavoy, but Truma Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanon. And then the Rambam took it even a step further. The Rambam ratcheted it up. And the Rambam says that not only Truma Bizman Azeh, but even Bimei Ezra was only Midi Rabbanon. Why? And the Rambam came up with a whole Chiddush based on the Gemara Ksubas Chafhei, that's talking about Chalo, that Kisavoyu, you need Bias Kulchem. And if you don't have Roiv of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Chi of Truma from Yisrael's Midi Raisa. Zokhtim Echas Chinuch, I think Lule de Mistafino. That you know how the Rambam knew that? Because etem ga'ar this kasha. The kasha that how is Ezra able to make a knas? You can't be oikra dovim in a Torah. The Rambam held, you know what the teretz is? Truma b'zman azez the Rabbanon. So if Truma b'zman azez the Rabbanon, and afilu be may Ezra Truma is the Rabbanon. So he wasn't being oikra anything in the Torah. Because there was no chi of Truma some Isis midei raisa. If there would have been a chi of Truma some Isis midei raisa, so it comes out Ezra's being oikra dovim in a Torah. Oh, but he wasn't being oikra dovim in a Torah because there was no Truma some Isis. Aye, there was Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kitchel Eshaita for sure. The conversation is not the churban, but that's not me may Ezra. The teretz is because there was no bias kulchem. And says the Mechas Chinuch that like the Rambam it's meyushev, but not only like the Rambam it's meyushev. Maybe this was good for the mocker to the Rambam, and this is how the Rambam knew that truma be may Ezra a chiddush nifla from Rabbeinu Agadol the Rambam. How did he know such a chiddush? It's a tremendous chiddush that Rambam. Obviously, says the Mechas Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Tzadikei, could be it was this kasha, because at them Ge'art Ezra, how do you have a gerech to make such a takona? Hefker Bezdin Hefker, yeah, that works out the financial component, but at the end of the day, this is an Issev Ahet Cheshbon. At the end of the day, you have a mitzvah to give it to the Levi, and there's no takona, there's no knas that has a right to be oikret. When the teretz is, it's because all it was a derabonon, and because all it was a derabonon, so it's for that reason he was allowed to do it. That's the first ara. The second ara is that earlier in the sugyas in Perka Aral, when we were learning about the halachos of lo yavoy amoini umayavi bekal Hashem, and the halacha that a mitzri and adoimi also are asur lavoy bekal Hashem for the first generation, the second generation, but by the third generation they're already mutter lavoy bekal Hashem. So we spoke out an epic shtickel from Rav Reuven Margolis in his Sefer Nefesh Chaya, that's his pirush on Erech Chaim, where he mentioned why is it that the Torah, when it talks about Lo Yovei Amoinu Mayavi B'Kal Hashem, it says Gam Deiras, even the 10th generation is not let her enter the Kal Hashem. By the Mitzri and Adoimi, 10 generations allowed, even the third generation is allowed. It's only the first and the second generation is not allowed. So Kedarki Bakoidish, he says that you find throughout Chazal that when it comes to yichus, there's a special yichus and a special connection that a person has with his parents and even his grandparents. Meaning three doiris is very, very stark. It's a chuta meshulish that's loy b'mheri yinotek. Right, that's three generations is very, very fast. You also find that 10 generations is very, very strong. There's some connection between 10 generations. Once you get past 10 generations, then the yichus gets very, very diluted. So it's extremely intense. The bond is super chazak for the first three dairies, and then a little less, you know, when it comes to the 10 generations. And says Reuven Margolis that yesh loymer, that's what's going on here in these psukim. Mamish, being Dairish time of the Kra, that Loyovi Amoinim Mayavi Bekal Hashem Gam Dairasiri. The Torah is coming to say that even the 10th generation is not okay. Meaning, you already have 10 generations of Amin Umayov, so you have an Amoini that was Megayer. And now already, we're holding by the 10th Dar of these Geirim. So you would have thought that the 10th Dar Amoini is 11 generations removed from the Amoini that was a Megayer. So he's so far removed, the Yichas is so diluted, so you would have thought it would be Mutter. That's why the Torah said Gam Dair Asiri. And Fakir, when it comes to the Mitzri Vadoimi, the Torah says it's only the first two generations that are a problem. But by the time it gets to the third generation, it's more Kuladik. And because you don't have that Chazak Yichas anymore, because what's the yichus to the mitzri versus an ene Yehudi. Eshein an alta zeda. No, an alta zeda, that's not bnei banim kebanim. You don't have the rachmi of ala ben for that. So because that, you don't have that shtark yichus anymore. So it's for that reason, that's not going to be so shtark. Either way, we spoke that it was a long piece, kedarke, with all the different mar mekoymes, rayas to 10 dairis of yichus, rayas to 3 dairis of yichus. He was masberg mar mesach, this gittim based on this. But me inyan le inyan, ba oise inyan. One of the Gemaras that Reuven Margolis quoted was a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara is discussing Oisei Hayoim, that infamous day, Bay Bayoim, where so many things happened that we once spoke out. Masechtas Yevamah is actually a piece from Reuven Margolis, that one of the things that happened on Bay Bayoim was the Baskel came out, and the Baskel said, Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim v'alocha kibeis hil. So the Gemara in Erev and Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Baskel, when did that take place? Took place in Brachos Chav Zayin, Brachos Chav Ches. But either way, so the Gemara over there says that Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, and because of a Mais Shoya Kachoya, he had to be overthrown from his Nasiyas. And they needed to appoint another Nasi. And the question was, who would the next Nasi be? So Rabbi Akiva was certainly a very, very worthy candidate, but the problem is he came from Gerim, he didn't have Schus Avis, and because he didn't have Schus Avis, they weren't sure that he should be the right person. Rabbi Yeshua was a very worthy candidate, but he was the one, really, that had instigated the whole episode, and they felt that that was inappropriate to Rabbi Gamliel to make him into the Nasi. Rabbi Eliezer was not discussed in this Gemara, but the Rishonim say Rabbi Eliezer had already joined the camp of Beis Shammai at that point. Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuti. Some say he was too old, and therefore he wasn't qualified to be able to be the next Nasi. What about Rabbi Tarfin? We have a raid bite on that. But they went, and they did their due diligence, and they said the one that's going to be the next Nasi is going to be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? The Hu Chacham, Vahu Asher, Vahu Asiri La Ezra. And he was 10 generations from Ezra. So Reuven Margolis said that what did they mean that he was Asiri La Ezra? It wasn't just an enikel from Ezra, but he was within 10 dairis of Ezra. So you see that because he was within 10 dairis of Ezra, so for that reason he's worthy, he's qualified, he could be the Nasi. But when I saw the shtickle in the light of Reuven Margolis, it struck me, the Gemara doesn't just say that he was within 10 dairis of Ezra. What did the Gemara say? V'hu asiri la'Ezra. He was 10 generations from Ezra. And it feels a little bit from the Gemara that the reason he's qualified is because number one, he's a chacham. Number two, he's an usher, like we saw in our daf today. And number three, he's also a 10th dar from Ezra. As if to say, because he was 10 generations from Ezra, not he's within 10 generations of Ezra. Meaning, had he been 6 generations from Ezra, I don't know if it would have been the same Milo. V'hu asiri la'Ezra. No. There's a Rashi in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is discussing Esther. And the Gemara says that Esther came from Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was a tzanua, lefichach, Zocha v'yatza mimenu Esther, who was also a tzanua. So Rashi says, how do you know that Esther came from Shaul? So Rashi quotes the Targum on Megillah. B'targum shal Megillah miyaches mardchai. The Targum on Megillah is miyaches mardchai v'oiseyu asiri l'shaul. It says that he was 10 generations from Shaul. So state in Targum that you should know that Mardchai Atzadik of the Purim story was 10 generations from Shaul HaMelech. It sounds like that there's something about 10 generations. So Rabbi Yanki Blyer showed me a beautiful Maramakim. And this is in the Ramah, in the Sefer Torah Sa'ayla. It's Chelek Sheni. It's Perik Shnayim V'Esrim. Perik 22. Listen to Lashonei Azov Shel HaRamah. So the Ramah is talking about Meiser. We're bringing it all together. Omnam HaMeiser Gamkei Mitzad Zoy Sasibo. Kinirali She'inyin HaMeiser Tama Mitzvah. Why is Meiser such a big deal? Liyois Lizikaron Tomid Beineinu Inyin HaAvos. I think if you give somebody a lot of guesses, he wouldn't have came up with this. You want to know why Meiser is such a huge inyan? It's because the Eibishter wants us to always remember the Avos. And the way to remember the Avos is by giving Meiser. Why? Sharei Yaakov, Amma Yaakov said, Aser Aseren Ulach. Yitzchak said, Vayimtzo Bashana Ahim Meya Sha'arim. He went and he counted. Why did he count? Because he wanted to give Meiser. And by Avram Avinu, it says, Vayiten Loi Meiser Mikol. Avram Avinu also gave Meiser. Harei, Sheheskilu Inyan HaMeisres Mitzadatzon. You find that the Ovis HaKadoshim gave Meiser. So because the Ovis gave Meiser, it was such a big deal for the Ovis. So that's Tama Mitzvah. Liyos Lezikorin Tomid Beineinenu Inyan HaOvis. Now says the Ramah, you see that the Ovis made a big deal about Meiser. Why? The Efshe Shalom Duzem Midoirish Avru. Could be they learned this from the Friya Digadoiris. Shere Me Adam the Anoyach Hayu Asara Doiris. From Adam until Noyach, there were 10 generations. Noyach was the 10th. V'asiri Kodesh. And you see that he was Noyach, he was Kodesh. So there was an Indian of Asiri Kodesh. V'chein mi Noyach ad Avram. From Noyach to Avram, it was the same thing. Avram was Asiri Kodesh. U'lozeh amdu al soida maestris. That's how they came to their head, the soida maestris. Because they realized that 10 generations, every 10, all of a sudden there's this gewaldige Kedusha based on the Yisoid of Meiser, Asiri Kodesh. So they said, if there's an Indian of Asiri Kodesh, let's go ahead and let's be Mafresh Meiser, because the 10th thing must have a Bezundere Kedusha. So from the 10 generations from Adam until Noach, and from the 10 generations of Noach until Avram, you see the Indian of Asiri Kodesh. So Asiri Kodesh meant that there's something specially Kodesh about the 10th generation. And I think the Hezber is based on an Evan Ezra in Parashas Bechukosai, in last week's Parashah. So the Pasuk is talking about Maiser Behema. Zok to Evan Ezra, Vihine, Hanifchar, the chosen is always Ha'echad Va'asiri. It's the first and it's the tenth. Shnezek HaMoizeh, they're literally one and the same. The first and the tenth of every Inyan is the same. Says the Evan Ezra, that's why Vihine Yitain HaBechar, the firstborn child is the Bechar, the Asiri, and then the tenth one is Maisa Behema. And the same is true when you grow things, Ubezera Ha'aretz. The first is the Tfuah, which is Bikurim, and then the tenth one has Kedusha again. It's going to be Maisa Rishon. So says the Evan Ezra that there's something called Asiri Kodesh, but he adds a Moirdig Knech, that Asiri Kodesh means that there's a Shaiches between the first and the tenth. That number 1 and number 10, Ha'echad Va'asiri, Zekim Moizeh. They're literally one and the same. And that's why you find the firstborn child of Bechor and the 10th is Ma'aseh Behema. And the first Peiris that grow are going to be Bikurim. And the 10th one is going to be Ma'aseh Behema. So when we talk about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah being 10 generations from Ezra, it's not just that he was within 10 generations from Ezra, but the fact that he was 10 doiros from Ezra, you know what that meant? It meant two things. Number one, Asiri Kodesh. But on the level that Evan Ezra explains it, it means that he was like Ezra. Ha'echad va'asiri echadheim. They're literally one and the same. And that's the oimek of Mardchai being 10 generations from Shaul. What does it mean he's 10 generations from Shaul? It means he's the Asiri Kodesh of Shaul. And if he's the Asiri, so Shaul is the Echad, and the Echad and the Asiri are one and the same, and that's the Oimek. There's a Yerushalmi in Masechtas Yevamos, in the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, that says, quote, Heyed Rab Doise ben Hurkinis, She'enei Rab Elazar ben Azariah, Hayudai Mois le'enei Ezra. The eyes of Rab Elazar ben Azariah were like the eyes of Ezra. What, they had the same color eyes? What's the Oimek? The Oimek Advarim is that Rab Elazar ben Azariah was like Ezra. Why was he like Ezra? Because he was Asiri la Ezra. And Asiri meant, number one, Asiri Kodesh. But it also meant Zekim Moiseh. You have the Bechor, you have the Maisim Behema, you have the Bekurim, and you have the Maiserishim. It was literally Zekim Moiseh. And because it's Zekim Moiseh, that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not just within 10 generations from Ezra. He was Asiri la Ezra. And because he's Asiri la Ezra, that's Kufa's qualification. As a Chacham, as an Asher, and you want to know who he is? His eyes are like the eyes of Ezra. He's mamish me'inyan le'inyan ba'oisa inyan Ezra. As nishnar aneinukul. As the Asiri Kodesh. It's poshet. That's what the Gemara means. He's the Asiri Kodesh of Ezra. And because he's the Asiri Kodesh of Ezra, so he is literally an Ezra. Who would be more worthy to lead this generation than Ezra? I think it opens up the possibilities of what we could do with this when we start thinking of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as Ezra. Right? Ezra, we always say, is the most underrated tzaddik and gadol in the history of Klal Yisrael, right? We forget sometimes everything that Ezra did, but the MS is Ruya Hoisa Torah Shetinasin Al Yedei Ezra Vafu Pishloi Nitna Al Yadai Nishtana Haksav Al Yadai and Anche Knesset Gdoila, what we spoke about at the Bar Mitzvah Siyam, etc., etc. Right? It's such an important point. It's something that gets so overlooked. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on this day now becomes the Nasi. They didn't just appoint a Nasi; they appointed a Nasi that was Asiri La Ezra. He was 10 generations to Ezra. There was a nitzutz of Ezra that was going to now lead the Jews during this very, very critical time, a time that we talk so much about. But just to bring this completely full circle, and that is, so Sefer Rus ends with the yichus of David HaMelech. It says, Ve'ele toldeis paretz. Peretz hoyledes Chetzrin, the Chetzrin hoyledes Ram, the Ram hoyledes Aminadav, the Aminadav hoyledes Nachshon, the Nachshon hoyledes Salma, the Salmon hoyledes Boaz, who Boaz hoyledes Oved, the Oved hoyledes Yishai, the Yishai hoyledes David. So we mentioned Rabbi Uvram Margolis, and that piece in Nefesh Chaya says that if you count, David HaMelech is 10 generations from Peretz. So it's Peretz, Chetzrin, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salma, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, and David. And he said that, you see, in the Yichus of David, we counted within 10 Dairis, because we're trying to make the point that he's within 10 generations. It's deeper than that. Really, what the Pasuk is saying is not just that David is within 10 generations of Paretz, but I think what the Pasuk is saying is that David is Paretz. That's really what the Pasuk is saying. He is Asiri Kodesh, and he's the Asiri Kodesh of Paretz. Now, who's Paretz? Paretz is the son of Yehuda and Tamar. So I ask you, David is Paretz? It'd probably make more sense, be more geschmack if David would be Nachshon. If he would be the Zayd of Yehuda, if he can somehow get David to Yaakov, why Paretz? And how is that a punchline to this rape bite? Right, and a punchline to say for us, as Paretz, but the emes is, we learned the Gemara together in Perek Aharon. Again, full circle. We learned the Gemara together in Perek Aharon. The Gemara says that when David went out to fight against Goliath, Shaul is standing with his chevra, and he turns to them, he says, tell me, who's that young lad? Fake the Gemara, he knew exactly who he was. He was just by him, and he was impressed by him. So why all of a sudden is he asking about him? He suddenly doesn't know who he is. Who's his father? He knew who his father was. Zok the Gemara, you know what he wanted to know? He knew that he was an Einikol. He knew the Yichus brief. But he wasn't sure. Does he come from Paretz or does he come from Zarech? And what was the Shaila? He said, if he comes from Paretz, he's going to be king. You know why? Because Paretz is Miloshin. It's Miloshin. Melech is Paretz like Eder. He said, if, however, he comes from Zarech, then I'm not so sure he's going to be king. And as a result, that was his question. Somehow, he understood that the Malchus was going to come from Paretz. That's where it was supposed to come from. And he's trying to figure out, who's David from? Is he from Paretz or is he not from Paretz? So again, what does Paretz have to do with anything? How did Paretz somehow, right? We talk about someone we don't know a lot about. It's Paretz. So it's true, the Malchus comes from Paretz. But what's so significant about it? The truth is, we say in Lecha Doidi, Al-Yad Ish Ben Paretzi. Ben Paretzi. Mashiach is Ben Paretzi. Why Paretzi? How is it Paretz? So I'm not sure, but I once heard from Rabbi Yeshua Abba, Shlita, said over a medrash. The medrash is in Parshas Mishpatim. It says as follows, a beautiful medrash. At the moitze you find, kol toldei shebe mikra chaserim. Every time it says the word toldeis in the Torah, it's written chaser. Chutz mishnayim. There are two times where it says toldeis with two vavs. Tav, vav, lamedalid, vav, tav. So you have two vavs. What are the two times? Eile toldeis hashamayim v'ha'aretz. That's right in the beginning of creation. Bereshis perek beis pasuk dalid. Ve'eile toldeis paretz. Rus, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Ches. Those are the two times in the entire Tanakh that told us is written Moly. The Tam Gadol Yesh Lohem. So the Medrash is a myriadigger reason why this is. Lama, Omar Ela told us Shmai Varetz Moly. Because why was the original told us written Moly? Bipnei Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asay Lomi. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. V'lehoyim Malach HaMavis Ba'olam. There was no Malach HaMavis in the world. Adam Arishan Kaidim Achet was never supposed to die. Ubishvil Kachu Mole. And that's why Toldos was Mole. Because the Toldos of Adam and Chava were going to be around forever. Because nobody was going to die. So it was Mole the Toldos. Of the Kivan Shechata Adam and Chava. But when Adam and Chava sinned with the Eitzadas, Chisra HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Toldos Shebe Mikra. So all the Toldos became Chaserim. Because now no one's going to be around forever. Now, unfortunately, a person's Dair is a Chaser. So now the Toldos is only Chaser. The Kiv on Sha'amad Peretz. But then Peretz came. Nasa told the Shalom Mole. His children became Mole. Shamoshiach Oimed Heimenu. Because Mashiach's going to come from Peretz. Ubiyama the Kaddish Baruch Hu Mavliya Hamavis. And it's going to be during his times that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to take death and he's going to wipe it off the face of the earth. Shenemar Bila Hamavis Lanetzach. Lefichach, it's for that reason, told us Hashemayim Va'aretz. Vitold us Peretz. Mole. That's why those two told us were Mole. The Erishta told us, Eila told us Hashemayim Varetz was Mole because it was before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. At that time, the told us was supposed to be Mole. And then Eila told us Paretz. You know why Dafka Paretz? Because who's going to come from Paretz? Moshiach Oymed Eimenu. Ubiyom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavliya HaMoves. Shenem Abila HaMoves LaNetzach. That's why through Paretz, it's going to be Mole again. But it's Mavur, one Klara Indian. That Paretz is really the father of Mashiach. It's Eila Toldos Paretz. And that's why Shalom Melech in Perek Aro wants to know, is he from Paretz or is he from Zorech? And that's why it's Ben Partzi. And there's other Makaris to this as well. That you see that the Malchus is going to come from Paretz. It's through Paretz that the Malchus is going to come. So Shalom Melech sees David. He knows who he is. He knows he's impressive. And he knows he has a very bright future. But he's trying to determine how bright his future really is. And he realized one thing. You know what he realized? Who's his Zayda? Is his Zayda Paretz or is his Zayda Zar? What's the tiefkeit? Oh, does he come from Paretz? Does he come from Zar? No, because Shaul did his due diligence. And Eret Fashtanin, he knew one second his father's Yishai, the Zayda's Oive, the Elta Zayda's Bayaz, one second Nachshin, Salmon. He's 10 generations from who? He's either 10 generations from Paretz or he's 10 generations from Zarach. And I understand, I see something in this kid. This kid's Asiri Kodesh. And you know who he is? Who's the Elta Zayda? If the Elta Zayda 10 dollars back is Paretz, that means he's the Asiri Kodesh of Paretz. And Zekamoizel, like the Eben Ezra says. So what's his Kedusha going to be? He's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Ezra. And just like Mordechai is Shaul. So who is he? Is he Paretz or is he Zarach? And the Teretz is, the Eila told his Paretz. The Eila told his Paretz. Paretz hailed as Chetzron. The Chetzron hailed as Ram. For Ovid hailed as Yishai. For Yishai hailed as David. He comes from Paretz. He's Ben Partzi. And because he's Ben Partzi, he was David HaMelech. And because he's Ben Partzi, through him the Mashiach's going to come. And we should talk about Zoicha to the Eila told his Paretz. That told they should be Mole again. It should be Mole because Mashiach's going to come. He's going to be Mavliya HaMoves. We'll be Zoicha to Bila HaMoves. We should be zoicha to greet David Malka Meshicha, b'mheiru b'yameinu, amen v'amen.